Good morning. Good morning to our Litchfield Hardinsburg area listening. Good morning to our Hinesville, Glasgow listeners and our Owensboro and all surrounding. Sometimes we stretch into areas we're not even supposed to the glory of God. So this is Tuesday, and you know what that means? We have a full house of ladies, women of God. So, Miss Karen, how are you?
I am awesome.
Amen. Miss Jeannie?
I'm still better than most.
I love it. I love it. Miss Crystal.
Doing well. Doing well. It is well. It
Amen.
Is well. Sing that song. No, I'm just kidding.
And for anyone wondering, I'm still filled with gratitude. And Brother Roger is still kicking in there.
Yay. It's good to see you, Rog.
So thank you for helping us today.
I love the Superman hat.
I know.
I do. I've always loved it. You are a Superman.
Crystal's, my brother and Crystal's grandson, Brett, thought that he was Superman at one time when he was really little. He would call him Superman. Yeah, the old version.
The old version of Superman.
He would call him, so he said, it's Superman.
I don't know if I should say this on the, you know how I am, I'm big mouth, but Brandon said yesterday he walked in the door. Now, this is a three-year-old child. And he said, hey, it's my baby daddy. He's 3 years old. Brandon looked at him and said, what are you saying? He's like, wait. Of course, he lives with a bunch of teenagers, so there you go.
Oh, my God.
We died laughing. I was like, oh, my goodness. So he needs some correction there.
He's a hoot, that's for sure.
He is something else.
Where in the world did he get that at 3 years old?
Well, living with a bunch of teenagers, I guess. Because I know his daddy didn't tell him that, or his mama.
Either that or maybe a video somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what, stuff will just, even on TV, stuff will just pop up.
But to comprehend that is your father is your baby daddy.
He's smart. Like,
he probably doesn't even understand. Hopefully he doesn't understand what he's talking about.
He doesn't. I don't think.
No, right. Speaking of the little ones, though, it just blesses me so much whenever they engage in worship. And whenever they absorb everything. I mean, we talk about them absorbing things they shouldn't, but they also absorb the good stuff. So
they do.
Be encouraged, parents, because keeping them in an environment where the spirit is there, you know, where the spirit of the Lord is present, they're absorbing things. And it really does bless me when I hear them sing, when I see them lift their hands, when I see them pray for people. And it's crazy, even at the age of as infants, they're modeling this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like they model the bad, they model the good.
Well, exactly.
And Brett does model good also, but I just had to tell that funny. I don't know if I should have.
One of the first things, when God TV came out years ago, before you were born, when it first came out, I was glued to it. Because it was 24 hours of around the world.
Right.
Wow.
So you got to see what was going on in other countries. Christian wise, and I'll never forget the scene that I saw on there. I've never forgotten it, and I've looked for it and longed for it in our churches.
Wow.
And it was children. And I think I'm probably gonna be wrong about the country, but it was Oriental, whatever country it was, and they were praying for a revival for us.
Wow.
For America.
Wow. That's awesome.
And children. There was grown-ups too. But all throughout this area that we had met in, it looked like a fellowship hall kind of thing. They were grown-ups huddled up over here praying. There was teenagers huddled up praying. There was kids laying on the floor with their holding hands with each other, praying for revival in America. It was an amazing scene that I've just longed for for our children to experience the Spirit of God that way.
Well, somebody said the word model, and you know, I saw this little boy, I mean, he was little, here at church at Bethel, and he was having some hard times, and of course he didn't, but his mom and dad had taken him up there, and they were worshiping, you know, at the very beginning, and when people sometimes will go up front and they'll worship the Lord and everything, and his mother was holding him, and she had her hand up in the air. And, I mean, this kid was watching her. He was looking to see what his mother was doing. And then somehow he ended up with his dad. And I think his dad set him down on the floor, and his dad had both hands up in the air as he was worshiping the Lord. And that baby was sitting on the floor, and I mean, he was watching everything that he saw his mom and dad do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the, he modeled what he was being, what they weren't necessarily teaching him in that moment, but they were teaching him in that moment.
Do you remember Raise a Hallelujah?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it came out, I'll never forget that scene of the mom and dad there at the celebration of that little boy coming out of the hospital and him raising his hand in his daddy's arms.
Yeah.
Man, that was something. He knew that it was about the miracle.
That's right.
He knew.
He was celebrating with them.
Right.
You know, he knew it was about what God did for
him.
That's
right.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So if you don't know,
we saw
Raise a Hallelujah.
And then we saw miracle after miracle with Raise a Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Benji, that was his favorite song. Benji Goostry, everybody knows him around here. And he loved Raise a Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And when he was one time in a hospital situation, we were raising a hallelujah for him.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's another little boy that was here at the time. And, you know, you don't know if you're supposed to say names or not, but we were in the hospital, and Todd and I went up there, and his mama looked at me, and she said, "Sing Raise a Hallelujah." Mm-hmm. And I was kind of uncomfortable. I kind of looked at her, and I said, "Now?" And she said, "Yeah, right now. So we just started in the room, and because of his situation, he would cry, and he would almost moan and scream. Mm-hmm. And when we'd sing that, he'd stop.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then when we quit, you know, so we sang it for a while until he settled down. And it eventually he stopped. But, there's power in songs. And that, you know, like I said, Benji knew that song and celebrated with that song. And he'd always want us afterward to do that song. So if these little children, you just said, suffer not the little children to come to me. They understand it, you know. Then we should be the same way. That God, we celebrate your goodness.
They hold on to it.
Right.
They cling to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing, that song in particular. Like, that's always the song that little kids will start singing, at least around me. Like, there's something about that I think kids, it, like, sparks something in everybody. But especially I've noticed the kids.
Yeah.
There's just something about it.
Something was birthed out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where
a child was.
That song was in response to.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of times songs are written and then people are
respond
moved by
to them.
Or
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this song was in response to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made a huge impact across this country.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word right there.
Yeah.
It was in response to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, I have a proverb of the day. I'm keeping it going for Pastor Aaron. Proverbs chapter 12:14. I even did KJV for y'all.
Oh, for y'all, huh?
I think. It says KJV, so it better be. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Mm. So I love that. And singing these praises to the Lord, that's fruit of our mouth as well.
I'm not so sure we didn't use that this past week.
I think we did.
Really?
Our broadcast was on the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It was big.
We need some. We need some.
12. What was the verse? I'm sorry.
Proverbs 12, verse 14.
14. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Amen.
In English, it says, a man will be satisfied with good by the words of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the work of a man's hands will reward him.
Mm-hmm.
I love when it says the words of his mouth, because that's declaration and that's power. And that's
Amen.
What God tells us to do, is to declare his word. He's watching over it to perform it.
Amen. And I love the reward, you know, the reward to be given.
I like the first part of it in
English,
King Jimmy. It says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit, which implies an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's good.
So, you know, what's coming out
produce,
of you on a continual basis.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart. Not just one word. You said one line there, oh, man, you're in trouble because look what came out of your mouth.
Right.
No, it's what is a continual conversation about your life. What do you say about these things? What is the fruit?
Does the fruit of the Spirit outweigh the fruit of the flesh from your mouth, or does the fruit of the flesh outweigh the fruit of the Spirit?
Right.
It's a good question
to ask.
And the Bible says it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we declare and we speak, we are not creators. God is the creator, but we create an atmosphere for God to work, because
Amen.
He is His word, and we're speaking His word. We're declaring His word, and it's causing it to go and be active and sharper and do what God has declared it to do.
Yeah. So can God do something at your house today?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's
yes.
the question.
What are you saying? What are you saying over there?
What are you saying over there? That's right.
I was going to throw this out there, too. I forgot to do this, but if you all want to interact, I know a lot of people normally text
us
in.
Us interact?
No. Not
if anybody wants to comment, you know, throw something in.
Oh, I thought you meant us.
No.
You're not talking to us?
No,
who
no.
Are you talking to?
Listeners, if you all want to send in your questions about anything that's being said or comments, you can text me 270-589-7933. So that's my number if you want to text in. A lot of you already have it, but if you're tuned in and you just have something to say or testify, so there's mm-hmm. that number. And then quote of the day, it's C.S. Lewis, if you live for the next world, you get this one in the deal. But if you live only for this world, you lose them both.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's good.
That's really good.
Really?
Say that again.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
look at that.
Okay. I'll go slow. If you live for the next world, you get this one in the deal. But if you live only for this world, you lose them both.
Right. Mm.
That's mm-hmm. so good.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of the, you know, scripture with, you know, if you love your life, then you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, then you'll find
good.
It.
That's
and he
really
goes,
good.
You know, they said, what will we receive? We've give up everything.
Yeah.
And he said, you will receive.
Restored.
You'll receive it in this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's both.
Mm-hmm.
He'll receive mm-hmm. back in this
the
life.
Both.
Everything you've yeah. given up. Yeah.
That's good.
Amen.
It is good.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And then our only announcement, we're short on announcements. So, again, if you guys have anything, we can get it added to the calendar. But the ladies' meeting, November 14th, so do not forget, 6 o'clock, and then a BCA, I think the first home game, mm-hmm. home basketball
so
game,
night, yeah.
November 14th at 5:30. So come out and enjoy that. And
I got one.
Yeah.
Just a reminder.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, we're our nation. It's Amen. Going through some things,
right.
And almost every place, food pantries are really trying to amp up and have mm-hmm. plenty
right.
for the difficult times that some of the poor, for sure, mm-hmm. are looking at. And so find your local food pantry
mm-hmm.
and go buy some groceries.
There yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because Bethel, Messia Morton and Joe Taylor are organizing that here if anybody wants to drop anything off at the multipurpose building. So I can get you more information on that. We can I don't remember all the details right now, but I know that they'll be in the multipurpose building, I believe, this week.
Saturday
starting. Saturday. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know the details.
I'm pretty sure Sue's
don't remember.
Miss Sue has plenty of food in there back there
in
right
the
now.
Store.
If you come right now, even before that gets organized.
Yes.
If you need come and received.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Come and eat.
And there's been, someone reminded me today, many elections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say, why don't we pray?
Yeah.
Can we pray for that? Because as someone was saying, you know, hopefully after this election and all and everything calms down, the government will open back up. Let's just pray for that.
Yeah.
And then we will shift into other things.
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you this morning. I don't have to be the one that leads, but I'll take off. Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for God, our nation. God, you see, you know, God bless America.
Yes, Lord.
God, we thank you that we stand on that confession that they have said, that we have said as a nation for years, God bless America.
Mm-hmm.
And God, this spirit of division that has come into our nation, mm-hmm. God, the spirit of evil, God, that has come into our nation, God. Lord, you said for us to stand in the gap.
Yes.
Lord, in I believe it's Ezekiel 22, God, you said that is there anyone that will stand in the gap? And God, we as the ones that were in Ezekiel, I think am I saying that right? I think it's Ezekiel. Anyway,
yeah.
He says, mm-hmm. I looked for someone to intercede and there
yes.
was no one, and they mm-hmm. lost their mm-hmm. nation. But God, we are here this morning as a body of Christ, God, one county, God, and among so many, God, hopefully we're reaching other counties out there, God, and we say today that we come together in the name of Jesus. Lord, your
yes.
word says where two or three are gathered, we could ask in your name. And God, we pray for our nation. God, we just say it over and over. God bless America.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes.
God, expose the evil. Expose the enemy, God. And Lord, let God arise and his enemies be scattered.
Yes.
So today, God, we scatter the enemy over our nation, God,
yes.
and we ask, God, that there's favor that comes upon it, God, Lord, we just thank you for it. Yes, in Lord. Jesus' name, if anybody else wants to pray, take off. Hallelujah. We just bless you, Lord.
Yes,
we thank you.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just pray that you would heal our nation, God, from the inside out. Lord, the things that are wrong, the things that are going on behind the scenes, all of the just the corruption, Lord, we just pray, as Miss Crystal said, that it would be exposed and that hearts would be healed, Lord. We pray that revival would hit our nation, God, because we need your presence, Lord, that the church would experience a revival, yeah. Lord, that all of the things that are happening in the church, Lord, there would be a healing and a restoring, Lord, back to holiness and back to your word, Lord, that the truth has been attacked so much in our nation,
yeah.
And Lord, we just pray for truth,
yes.
Absolute truth, Lord, that this lie that there's no absolute truth, Lord, that it would be exposed and that people would be set free from that lie, that there is no truth, because you are the truth, you are the way, and you are the life. And we just pray, Lord, that a people that are deceived would start to come out of that,
yes.
Deception, God,
yes.
And they would begin to have the revelation of the truth, and that is you, Lord, and your word, and that it would come back into the school systems, back into government, back into where it once was a foundation. Now it's just an ornament on a Christmas tree, Lord. But I thank you, God, that you are able to turn around things in a moment. And we just,
yes.
Believe you for that, Lord.
Yes.
A shifting and a changing, mm-hmm. of hearts, of minds, and a renewing of minds in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, you're still doing suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You're still that God. And so, Lord, today I pray that you, as the people of our nation, even begin to get down because,
yes.
They see things going on and they think it's getting bad. It's really bad. Lord, see the heart of your people and begin to encourage us by the gifts of the Spirit and of prophesying, and let the gifts come up again,
yes.
And remind the church that you're still King.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that you would move on our behalf. You did it throughout history. You would move because Noah found grace in the eyes of the,
yes.
Lord. Lord, find in this nation those who love you and are crying out to you. And we cry out to you not just because it's the last resort, but we cry out to you today for our country,
yes.
Because you're still the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are still the one and only, and you,
yes.
are still our Lord and God. And so we expect,
mm-hmm.
we expect a suddenly across this land.
Yes.
Let it begin with us, mm-hmm. in,
amen.
Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray that, you know, there was a time not very long ago when there was a question, Lord, how do we pray for our country?
Mm-hmm.
How do we pray? And the word came forth, Lord, that we would pray asking that the lies would be revealed and the truth would be,
yeah.
exposed. And Lord, we sit here today and we see all of these things that are going on in our nation. But Father, let us understand that is the exposing of the,
mm-hmm.
truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is the truth of,
mm-hmm.
where our nation is. And let us, not for the sake of fear, not for the sake of hiding, not for the sake of drawing back, but let it be the place that we see it. Because you've exposed it.
Mm-hmm.
You've made it known unto us what is going on in the minds and the hearts of this nation. And Lord, let it be a call on the life of those who know you,
yeah.
to come forth, to bring the real truth into this darkness. The real truth, and that is you. You and you alone. Encourage us, Father. Let it be an encouragement. Let it be a call on our life. Let the sound of it ring in our ears and let it speak to our hearts that we might run to the place that we need to show forth your light,
yeah.
not just in us, but through us.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be a call, Father. On the lives of people who know you,
yeah.
and call you by your name, are called by your name.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be that for us, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
And amen. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. My eyes will now be open and my ears attentive to the prayer from this place. So, Father, we thank you that you come and heal our land as we ask for forgiveness for our land, God, in Jesus' name.
May it never be old.
Really?
He said it as though he woke up this morning and said
it.
It's still as real as it was written. Amen.
Amen. And speaking of restoration, we are in Hosea. So we have a few minutes left before our break. We've already made it to Hosea, so we blew through Ruth. We blew through Jude, and we're in Hosea.
Yeah, Jude was probably a quick one, wasn't it?
Yep. Next, I believe, let's see.
All right.
Cheat sheet over here. I think we're going next to Acts. Or no, wait.
Well, that won't be a quick book.
Yes. Mm-mm. We're going next to the book of Acts, so that's going to be.
You're going to be there till next year.
Yeah.
y'all haven't
it's going to be like John.
You haven't begun Hosea yet?
We have.
Oh, you have? Where are you at in it?
Yeah, we're in chapter 2, verse 14.
Well.
Yep. Chapter 2.
I got stuck on the first line. The word of the Lord came unto Hosea. And I thought, and the word of the Lord came unto Crystal. And the word of the Lord came.
Amen.
It just keeps on happening, doesn't it? It just keeps on happening.
This is the scriptures that I proclaim over prodigals.
That's
I love
exactly.
this. Now, not at 2 and 6, and then it goes on, because it says, therefore, this is what I will do.
Yes.
I will block her way with thorns. I will enclose her with a wall so that she cannot find her path. Talking about of evil. Mm-hmm. She will pursue her lovers but not catch them. She will seek them but not find them. Mm-hmm. Then she'll think, I'll go back to my former God. Mm-hmm. But then it was better for me than now. I proclaim, and it goes on much. Because then it says I ain't going to say it because you're about to go there. Let me shut up.
We'll say it after we go there.
Yeah. Okay. But I want to say right there, you know, you read those words, and I'm sitting here going, this is why he said, let me write my word upon your heart.
Yeah.
So I can remember that, what he just said there. Let the word of God be written upon your heart so you can remember this.
Yeah. Right.
These words, words.
What do you do when you don't want to forget something?
Write it down.
Or you start putting it in that phone. Or you start, I have it. I have some things that I do not ever want to forget. Mm-hmm. So it's the first thing I see when I get up.
Well, what does Habakkuk says? Write down the vision. Mm-hmm. It's clearly inscribed on tablets so one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late.
Right. So your excuse of, I just can't remember all that.
Yeah.
It's just not going to fly.
That's right.
Because if you want to remember something.
You'll do.
I'll never, this is one of my favorite stories, but my husband years ago, we were having an argument.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. we still have arguments, but in the heat of that argument, he had forgotten something very important.
Right.
All right. And so I looked at him and I said, well, write it down and tape it to your steering wheel. Don't you forget. And we started laughing. And so from that time on, in every argument we would come up with about that sort of thing, we'd all go, tape it to your steering wheel.
And then bring it to an end.
That's a good one.
That's funny. It's like tape it in your doorpost and all that, but tape it to your steering wheel.
Well, I mean, this is life and death.
It is life and death.
Come on. You're praying for loved ones and whatever you're going through, whatever, when it says, things like, I mean, he's speaking to the adulterers here. We understand that. But he's saying, now I will expose her shame, and that's a bad thing, in the sight of her lovers, but no one will rescue her from my hands. And it's capital M. God's going to watch, and he says, I'm going to put an end to all her celebrations or his celebrations and their new moon and Sabbath and all. And he's saying all these things that I'm going to devastate. I mean, he's saying they're going to have to walk through some things, but then it comes back, and then Hannah can take it from here. And he says, but this is the Lord's declaration. Mm-hmm. And I love this because it's hard to read sometimes the first few verses that say, this is what I'm going to do to her, because I tried to tell her, but she called on Baal and I kept pulling on her. But then now, and so you read all that, but I still confess, even the bad stuff I confess, because it's God's word.
And
he's saying, I know how to handle the prodigal. I know what to do to cause them, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Todd will even tell me sometimes, get out of the way and let God do it, you know, and you have to. And speaking his words, create.
Go ahead, Hannah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
I kind of interjected there because I didn't want to forget it. But you were talking about, you know, the hard things. But what we talked about yesterday was that is his mercy. So, I mean, the heading before verse 14 in my phone Bible is the Lord's mercy. But really, it's talking about his mercy even before that, because the hedge is his mercy.
Right.
If he didn't want to save them, then he wouldn't ever put the hedge up.
Right.
And even though it has thorns, that is a punishment, but it's all to turn their heart back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about it, is there will be suffering for prodigals, but we were all prodigals at one point.
That's right.
You know, like, it's talking to Israel on a whole scale, because he's talking about the covenant that he has with Israel and how they're going to be restored. There will be revival, and their hearts will turn back to him. Mm-hmm. But I just see Jesus on every line for us, you know, for us individually, of like, we were there and now we're here, and it was all him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I love about it, is it's like this chapter, really this whole book, is like, you didn't do anything like to deserve the love that I'm pouring out, and the unconditional love that he showed us through Hosea.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything to earn it. Right. It was all him.
That's right.
And so that's what
talking
going
about.
Into.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to interject while y'all are on what you were on. I just thought of this and really never saw it like I'm seeing it right now. But when they brought that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, the shame, the nakedness, she's going through the hard place right
here.
Oh,
yeah.
She's being exposed. And Jesus, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, is this the setup? Is this the moment that God has set her up to go free, to be brought back to
That's
him? Because
right.
she wasn't with him at this point. She couldn't have been. But see, we always key up on this story being about, well, you who've never sinned, cast the first stone.
Yeah.
But is it about someone who is truly away from God?
Oh, yeah.
And he has brought her
That's
into
right.
a place, even though in the exposure it's not pretty.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
But now he's, what, redeemed her.
Even the prodigal went and ate with ate the pods, you know, even the prodigal. But, you know, last week when we were talking about Job, you remember it says, for God speaks time and time again, but a person may not notice it. In a dream, in a vision in the night, you're talking about warnings, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he uncovers their ears at that time and terrifies them with warnings. You know, sometimes he's doing something that we can't see, and it's going to be a lasting thing. And then it said, and God certainly does all these things two or three times to a man in order to turn him back from the pit so that he may shine with the light of life.
And I feel like that is really, again, I know this is for me. I also feel like this is for our nation.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, it is an exposing. There has something been exposed here, and it cannot be denied.
Right.
It's like the woman that was caught in the act of, you can't deny it.
Can't deny it when
you're
the light's being shined
and
on.
And now we see it.
Yeah.
And see, the way I've always felt is, you know, we can, I had this time, and the Lord said to me, you've got to call something by its name in order for it to answer when you speak to it.
Come on.
And so when you see something, up until the point you see it, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I think that might be what it is. It could be that, but when you see it for what it is, you can call it by its name, because you now know what it is. And when you see the truth of what is really going on, now you can start to speak to it directly.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing in our nation today. Right here in these verses is what we're seeing. God's giving that. This is the moment of deliverance.
Yeah.
Prophesy.
Well, look, I mean, we're going to get to it. And poor Hannah, she's trying to get to it. Okay, in verse 16, he says, you'll call me my husband, and you'll no longer call me Baal. You know, and so there's going to be a shift. Oh, Hannah, take it, because we're going to just keep going all
back.
Over this.
It's good. Those last verses were really good.
Yeah.
Well, now that y'all are talking about, I want to read this again real quick before we go to 14, because it's reminded me of it. Give me just a sec. There was a part here. So it talked about in those verse 6, the mirth and the sin. So like the enjoyableness, the amusement of the sin, of her sin.
Right.
That word mirth. And there was a quote here in a commentary that was just amazing to like just to open our eyes and to remember what this is talking about. So sin and mirth can never hold long together. But if men will not take away sin from their mirth, God will take away mirth from their sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we won't take away the sin from our land and from ourselves, God will take away the enjoyableness of our sin.
Oh, wow.
That's what with the people he loves, the people that he chastises. Yeah. He will take away that amusement. And that's part of that prayer that we're praying for the prodigals. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, don't even let that next hit even be desirable to them.
Right.
Don't even
right.
let it fulfill them. I've heard of testimonies of people who were trying to get high and they couldn't.
Yeah.
Right.
I've heard of people praying and saying, Lord, let it make them sick. You know? not a deathly sick, but I mean, just like every time they try to do whatever they're trying to do, let it make them sick.
And
you
it's
know?
Really,
that
is sin
biblical.
Of it. The sin of it is what you're asking to make them sick. It's not to bring them into.
No, not
but
to
it's the filth. Yeah. The sin.
Yes.
The grossness of the sin.
Yes.
I want to say something right here because there's probably people out there listening that maybe they are still addicts or whatever. You know, and of course, I came out of that realm. But I remember a time where I'd done some drugs that was pretty potent. And I was hallucinating. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, you know. No, I closed my eyes. I started shaking my head. And I was like, Lord, no, no. I was talking to the Lord as high as I could be.
Many people do.
You know, I came straight out of there. The effect that I had just gotten it. I just got that buzz on. It was going to last a while.
Yeah.
I talked to the Lord till I was straight.
Wow.
Because I did not want to see what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It was
That's
amazing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forgot it. I never forgot. Now, I'd like to tell you, I left that moment, served the Lord, became a missionary. But it wasn't true. Uh-huh. It would be
but
years
you are
later.
You are,
but it was something I never forgot.
Yeah. But it gave you a
the
taste
power
of something.
The Lord, the power of Jesus in your life, even when you're not serving him, when you call on him.
It was sowing a seed in
it
you.
Was,
he was sowing a seed.
And he draws us. You know, he draws us out of that if we allow him. Like, I remember, and we don't want to all start telling our stories, but I wasn't always saved either. And I can remember my parents came into this. I was rebelling big time, but I would hear what they said, which are my children again. I would hear what they said, but I didn't want any part of it. Well, you know, or I'd hear it and I'd say, well, that really makes sense. And I love God, but I don't want, you know. And so I would be out, and unfortunately, in a bar, on a dance floor.
No.
And yes.
You.
And I can remember the thoughts of, what if Jesus came back tonight and I'm here? And I can remember those. And that's how it started with me. God didn't, it wasn't in a church. I'm sorry. I mean, go to church. Please go to church. I'm not talking about church. But sometimes God's giving warnings, like we're talking about back in Job. And with this lady, he's like, I'm going to do it. And so he started putting thoughts in my head in the evil that I was in or in the mess that I was in. And that's what we're believing God for is our nation, even the mess it's in, that God will start sending messages to people in the government, in the political realm of conviction. And think so, Hannah. Would you like to get to verse 14?
I don't know. Come we on, might girl. Not get to it because we do got to go to break. I want to give people a chance to get a trivia, but it's okay because I love unpacking more those verses. We read a lot of verses yesterday, and I feel like we just got to unpack it more today. So totally fine. I like flowing with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So we're good. We're good, and we'll come back. And who knows? Somebody said y'all are wild today.
Us?
Is that a good thing?
I don't even think. I think this is more mild than wild of the Tuesday.
I'm agreeing with you.
I am too.
Well, some people don't only get to hear till they go to work at 8.
Okay.
You know, and usually in the last hour is when we're
wild. It's going to get wild after this.
Yeah. It's going to
call in an hour late.
Yes.
Wilder and wilder.
Stay with us.
Stay tuned.
I just noticed we didn't set our clock back.
No, nope, it's 8:30.
The clock in here.
Now that's kind of stuff that confuses
that's
me.
That's funny. Good thing our phones are correct. Okay, so Tuesday question number one. After Jesus' birth and the death of Herod the king, who reigned in Judea? After Jesus' birth and the death of Herod the king, who reigned in Judea? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Do we take a break at 7:30?
We take a break at 7:30? We can. We don't always.
7-2-6-8-9. He is staring at the phone waiting.
You said, well, you said welcome back. Last night I welcomed our people to Celebrate Recovery, and I don't know how I made it, but I was like, welcome to, and all I could think of was raise a hallelujah.
That's what I felt like right there. You said welcome. I thought, raise a hallelujah.
It's funny.
So, Miss Karen, did you say you had something before we...
No, I want to say something, Crystal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all personal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you meant something about Hosea.
Well, you can't know, Hannah. Hope I've got something to say about Hosea. I'm pretty sure I will.
All right.
Do we want to stay in Hosea?
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome. We won't go past where we all we need to, though, for the art. Does it
no,
matter?
No, we can go.
But just tell us how many
I like what
about.
Karen said about, I'm looking at chapter 2, verse 11. For our nation, I will put an end to all her celebrations, her feasts. Now, if you're just tuning in with us, we're talking about Hosea, and there is an adulteress, and this is who chapter 2 is talking about right here. And there's a lot of things that the Lord says are going to happen. And then in 14, where Hannah's trying to get to, we haven't let her get there. it's the forgiveness that comes. But right now, as our nation, it says he's going to put an end. Now, I'm reading out of Holman Christian, which is similar to the ESV, so I apologize. It's just what my version. It's English to me.
That's fine.
I'll put an end to all her celebrations, her feasts, new moons, and Sabbaths, all her festivals. I will devastate her vines and fig trees. She thinks that these are her wages that her lovers have given her, but I will turn them into a thicket, and the wild animals will eat them, and I will punish her for the days of the Baals. You know, we were talking about, we don't like to hear that bad things are going to happen, and no one wants that, but, you know, Baal is foreign gods is what it represents. Anything that is not exalting Jesus Christ, you know, it's exalting something else, is a false god. And when she burned incense to them, put on her rings and jewelry, and went after her lovers, but forgot me. And so our nation, like we read, you know, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, and that's what we need to be praying for our nation, that it turns from its evil ways in this grace period that God has given to our nation right now. You hear so many, I'm not going to say prophets, but men of God speaking and saying they really believe that God has brought us to a season of some grace here, and he's letting some things happen. You've never heard more people talking about Jesus right now, but honestly, there will probably come a cease time of that, and we will go into some devastating times. I feel like the Lord told me that there's coming a time in our land when it's going to be tough, and we need to be ready. We need to be worshiping God, you know. And so, but it says then, and here we go to 14. If anybody jump in here, I'm just reading. This is the Lord's declaration. He's declaring his word right here, and this is what we need to say. Therefore, I'm going to persuade her. I don't know what King James says.
Allure.
I'll allure him. Lead her. Lead our nation, lead our prodigals to the wilderness, and speak tenderly to her. And so those times of devastation that may come, even for our prodigals or even for who, you know, our nation, whatever, like God gives them warnings and dreams and nights. And that sometimes they always say it, even you probably heard this in Celebrate Recovery, sometimes it gets a lot worse before it's about to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times.
And we've got to trust that. I mean, you know, again, if we're standing on the word of God, we've got to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to trust him.
Right.
There, you know, back there in Proverbs that you read earlier, it says... let me find it real quick. It's Proverbs 12:14. It says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but the false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And see, I just feel like sometimes we tend to forget these. I tend to forget these words.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to forget that he said, I'm going to narrow her path.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make her way loaded with thorns.
Right.
But see, if we would see through what he's saying, if we would see through the word what's going on, then our tongue becomes that of the wise.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It becomes that of the health. Jason said something Sunday morning that really spoke to me. More than one thing, Jason. but one thing he said was... There are many people that are saved, but few are safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Man, that was a big word.
And that's what this is. We've got to realize that we've got the word of safe. It's the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not really excited about thinking about going and speaking out to the people and outside of myself. I'm that kind of person. But, you know, I feel the Lord calling. You know, the worse things get, the more I hear.
Right.
That's right.
You know, the harder things become, the more I understand God's making a way.
Mm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
God's making a way.
And one of the worst things, and I think what we've probably seen some moves of God, and we've killed them because we always want to rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our thing is, oh, you know, don't worry about it. Everybody sins. Everybody, you know, and we start to comfort with a fleshly comfort.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Instead of allowing the Lord to bring them to the place that they needed to come.
Yeah.
Me, I came that way.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the place I needed to come. Nobody rescued. You know how many times I said, how come nobody ever came by and told me I was in a bad place? Well, because I needed to find that bad place all by myself.
That's right.
And come to my senses.
And you wouldn't have listened.
I wouldn't have listened. That's right.
You know,
I'm so thankful today that no one rescued me from where that needed to go.
Right. Well, right. He said it right there. No one will rescue her from my hands. Amen. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to take care of her.
Get in line. Get on the same page. You know, I was thinking about one of my favorite verses is in Revelation. I was thinking about this morning. You know which one it is. When he says to the church of Laodicea, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Gold is weighty. Gold is, it's got weight to it. It's heavy. And he said, because this gold has been tried.
Mm.
It's already been done. And it's proven.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes you talk about rescue. I think I do that. I think I don't want people to feel bad. But the word of God is going to be the thing that does whatever it needs to do.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
I need to speak it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to speak out the weighty word of God.
Right.
It'll do what it's supposed to do, not me.
I can't believe you brought the scripture up last night. I gave the scripture at Celebrate Recovery.
Well, what's the scripture? Tell us.
The one she's given is Revelation. From me. The one I gave was in Isaiah. Where he said, again, that was from Isaiah.
Right.
And he said, come buy without money.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
And all of a sudden, I mean, that just really sprung off of me. How do you buy without
money?
So that means we are going to purchase something with something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never really hit me until last night just how much that was. This will cost you to receive what the Lord has for you. It will cost. It'll cost you to turn from where you are to Him. It'll cause you to lay down where you've been, to move to pick up what He says reach for. Okay? There is a price going to be paid. It is costly, but it was without money. It's not a purchase on your part. It's a coming to. It's a coming to receive on your part. It's a coming out of. You're coming to your senses.
Right.
And so it's laying down. It goes back to denying yourself. It goes back to laying down your life. You're truly, anyone who has, that's come to the Lord and stayed, it's because they laid down their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Revelations 3. And in this translation, same thing you just said. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about,
Because he could have said, come receive gold tried in the fire, but he said, come buy it.
The rest of it in the King James is, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou may see us. And so, you know, that's what the Word of God does. That's the weight of the gold of the Word of God.
Right.
And again, I need to come to a place of understanding of, you know, we were here one time And that man, we had a guest come on, and he was talking about that two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, that two, the reason it's two edges is because when you take it in, it cuts. Mm-hmm. When you speak it, it cuts.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword. I never heard of anybody say it that way. But we've got to speak the word of God.
That's right. And we will get, I think, more of witness in the midst of these kind. Look, Isaiah 55, I just want to add, because they didn't say that in Revelation. But he said, everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I was given this scripture in relation to, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's why I gave this particular scripture. But he said, come to the waters, you that have no money. You have no possibility of purchasing this. Mm. Buy. He said, come and buy. Eat. Come. There's your word. Eat and buy wine with milk without money, without price. Will you spend money now forever? You spend every part of your life towards something that's not going to feed you. Mm-hmm. And you labor, but it never satisfies.
See?
Never. Mm-hmm. Why? Wow. He says, hearken diligently. Don't just listen up. Come after me with everything you got. Mm-hmm. Lay down what you've always known and come after me and eat what's good and let your soul begin to delight itself in fatness. And I gave this example because I was always I was a beanpole, y'all. I mean, I was so skinny. I'm sure I look like death. I'm sure. And when I started gaining weight, I remember how much I liked feeling
having
the fatness.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I would look at my legs and go, wow.
Some
man,
of us be I like, got... oh, I got the opposite.
Hey, but it's true.
Yeah.
The fatness was the what I was getting healthy.
Right.
I was truly getting healthy. Mm-hmm. And so.
Well, that's true, though. You know, I would say now maybe morbidly overweight, but most of us who are not to that point, we've never experienced what it's like to truly be like so thin that it's unhealthy, right. You know, or starving,
right.
You know, where your flesh is eating itself, basically, because you're starving. And so I think we can't appreciate that.
People used to say to me, I said this as well last night, but people used to say to me, how do you stay so skinny? You know how people talk.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, all you have to do is smoke and do drugs. It's not a problem,
right? It's easy. <isn't> it?
So, but I mean, sad part is it's usually the result of something unhealthy.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to pick on you skinny folk, because I was that. But I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times we're not making healthy choices.
And even when you look at it, you know, like with my situation through chemo, they were poisoning my body. It was unhealthy. And so it took a while. What I'm saying is, when the chemo stopped, I stayed real skinny for a while. I don't want to wish that, but I would kind of wish I wouldn't have went too far like I'm doing. But it took a while. My body, I couldn't gain weight for a while. You know, it took a season of continuing to work with my body and getting my taste buds even to want foods again that I couldn't eat before. And I'm just using that as a spiritual thing.
Eat foods that we couldn't eat before.
Right.
Like the meat.
And the damage that was done to my body had to be restored. And now it's restored really well. And now I'm going in the other direction going, whoa, wait. We don't want to go.
But that's a word. Yeah. Once we were starving, but then we can become so spiritually fat because we're not
that's
pouring
right.
out.
That's right.
So, that's exactly right. So that's what she was talking about.
Not
for this
doing
hour.
The right things.
It's time to speak.
Yeah, because now I'm eating things. If I'd stayed eating healthy, you know, but I had to start eating. Here's some more spiritual. I had to start eating kind of some fatty foods to get some weight on my body, but then I took it too far, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have to start saying, God, what are the right things I need to be doing to get this spiritual condition of mine back where it needs to do, you know. I'm not saying the fatty part wasn't right. I'm just saying I had to just eat and eat and kind of make my body move, my metabolism move again. And sometimes in the spirit we do that. We may get stuck in a place, or maybe we're trying to come out of some incorrect thinking, you know, and you just continue to feed yourself with the word and it'll bring you into correction and like I said, now I'm healthy and
it is a spiritual place, though. You think about David in Psalms there, and he talked about my flesh has cleaved to my bones. This was not a good place.
Right.
You know, so it's not like we're picking on somebody who doesn't have any weight, but I am saying, where are you?
Right.
I'm not afraid to say that because I was that person.
Yeah.
Where are you in life? Mm-hmm. Because we can get consumed by being thin.
Mm-hmm.
We can get consumed by a lot of other things. And the poison inside of us is showing up.
Right.
In our flesh.
Right.
It is usually the result of something, a thinking, or it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's deeper than just a surface.
Yeah.
It's something much deeper.
You know, I think what I'm going to say right here, hopefully it won't change where we're at. But it brings to mind something that the Lord showed me last week concerning people that are in church, and then they're out. And they're, oh, go ahead.
Can we hold it until we're at our heartbreak?
Oh, yeah.
And we'll come back. I'm going to read the second trivia question, and I have to step out for a little bit, but then I'll be back after this break. We're just going straight through. We're just bulldozing. No break. Okay, so I'm just going to go to question number two because we haven't gotten an answer for the first one. What was the name of the lawyer Paul called for? What was the name of the lawyer that Paul called for? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break.
Man. Well, good. I'm glad we didn't go to it. I'll tell y'all what I was going to say, and you tell me if I need to hold that to another day, because it might switch gears on us. It was about what had come up was
raise a hallelujah.
Back. I'm sorry, we got tickled.
Raise a hallelujah. We're back.
Yeah, we don't stop when it goes off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it gets picked up a little bit.
But sometimes we're talking about something, and Roger goes, "You're on." And I'm like, "Oh Lord, I hope they didn't have that."
I was
one on
talking.
There.
He said, "I left your mic on."
But God is good. We've been talking about Hosea somewhat. We've been a little side trail, too, of just all kind of things that God is doing. And we're grateful for the book of Hosea.
I do love this
book.
I do,
too.
I love this because it applies to so many
Yeah, you can go so many different ways.
You can go everywhere with this. But, of course, the place that we've always gone, the thing that Crystal and I share, and I'm sure people listening,
that
maybe for the first time, read this book, chew it.
Yeah.
Swallow it,
yeah.
Eat it, speak it back out, because this is your children coming home.
That's
this
right.
is your
especially chapter
child.
Two.
Yeah,
especially the whole book is good. Excuse me, but chapter two is what I confess over my prodigals, and I have more than one. But I believe this, and I see this, and I ask the Lord to let me have a vision of it, and I do. Let's go on. Y'all want to go on to verse 14, or did you want to share some things, Jeannie?
I do want to say, if you don't have a prodigal, then somebody you know does.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just get in here and begin to believe God for them as well.
Right.
Because, you know, as we were looking at this, I thought, you know, this is speaking to somebody that belongs to him, because he says there, you know, I will take you back to where you were when you
That's
were
right.
young.
That's
right? So you say, well, I don't even know if my child belongs to the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, your child is set apart
That's
for salvation
right.
on
That's
account
right.
of you.
That's right.
So,
amen.
So
he said,
answer that.
So shall your descendants be. That's what Abraham clung to.
So
you
do
know?
You love him?
Yeah.
Then he loves what pertains to you.
That's right.
Okay.
And Abraham, like I said, I'm going to jump to Romans 4. Y'all don't have to, but I'm going to run over there real quick because this is another one of my favorites, and I've shared it on here many times. But I'm going to keep sharing it because, and maybe it's not a prodigal child. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. I don't know. You know, I have some spiritual sons and daughters also, some nieces and nephews that I'm proclaiming this over
there. Fill in the blank.
Yeah, but, you know, in Romans 4, and it says this, what Abraham was holding on to was a word that the Lord had given him. I believe it was in Genesis 17. I'm not sure the scripture where it was. Yeah. Or Genesis 50. He says two things different times, 17 and then in 15. But it says in 4 of Romans, verse, where are we at? 16, I believe that is. Yeah, 16. He is the father of us all in God's sight. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Now, that was Genesis 17. He believed in God who gives life to the dead and calls things into existence that do not exist. He believed, we're talking about Abraham,
right.
He believed hope against hope so that he became the father of many nations. Now, this is the man that was 100 years old and does not have any children, natural biological children, but is holding on to the hope that God told him in Genesis, according to what had been spoken, so will your descendants be. And that's what he held on to through all those many, many years. I think the word was spoken to him. Didn't they say he was like 75 when the word was spoken? But it didn't come to fulfillment until 100.
Sure.
Something like that. It was a good while
but
before.
Knowing God, I'd say there was some time involved.
There was time involved. And if my numbers are wrong, please forgive me. But I know there was a time gap between the time that God had spoken, like it says, and the time that it actually was fulfilled
right.
at 199, at 100 and then Sarah 99. But the word was, so will your descendants be. And so he held on to that, and he considered his own body to be already dead. He's talking about how he's 100 years old. But it says in verse 20, he did not waver in unbelief. Mm-hmm. So whoever we are praying for, no matter what we see, I saw some things that, or heard some things this weekend that could have caused me to waver in my faith, but I say, no, Lord, you said.
That's right.
So will your descendants be. And all through Isaiah, it says, I will pour out my spirit on your descendants mm-hmm. and on your offspring. He says that over and over. We have a right to claim that and to claim our loved ones, mm-hmm. maybe if it's not a prodigal. He did not waver in unbelief at God's promise, but was strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God because he was fully convinced. That's our process all through life,
right.
all through our Christian
that's
walk,
right.
is to become fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform it, is what
that's
it says.
Right. I'm going to spring off that because I'm excited. That script, my favorite part of that story, mm-hmm. and even though staggered not at the promise of God,
right.
Fully persuaded, and I get it. I got all that, but my favorite part of that is in Hebrews 11. And he said he counted that God was able to raise up mm-hmm. Isaac from
yeah.
the dead.
That's it. Yeah.
And here it is. He went ahead and received him in a figure. What does that mean? He let his imagination go wild.
Wow.
He
yeah.
saw him alive mm-hmm. after he was sacrificed. Mm-hmm. Y'all got to get that.
It is.
Well, you know,
that's good.
I remember a girl. Did I interrupt you?
It's okay.
I remember a girl we both know that was praying for a husband, and she prayed for him and prayed for him for years. But she said that from time to time she would get an image of him walking up the aisle to receive Jesus as his Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and there was an expectation on her.
Right.
I think it was like 10 or 12 years she mm-hmm. prayed for her husband to come to know the Lord, mm-hmm. and he did.
And he did.
Mm-hmm. Listen, your expectation has to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come from just thinking God's word.
That's
God's
right.
word was meant, I believe this with all my heart, he gave us his word so that we could see something.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's through the eye of your faith, what we learned back mm-hmm. in the faith days.
Mm-hmm.
It was that you have to get an image on the inside mm-hmm. of you of what God has said mm-hmm. and be able to see it and reach for that. That's how you become fully persuaded. Get your imagination. That's what your imagination
that's
was
right.
given to
right.
you for. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
given till you could have Day unruly dreams here.
Yeah.
You know, it was for you to be able to see what God said. And take what you see and that image before you, dream about it.
That's right.
Ponder on it. Imagine that once again. What's that look like, Lord? That looks like Isaac coming back from the dead.
Right.
That looks like my prodigal coming
that's
home.
Right.
Here
mm-hmm.
she comes down the road.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Let your imagination build what God has said.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's one I think, too, is, you know, so many times we... healing is a big thing, you know, where people yeah. come to be prayed for, to be healed and everything. And I think sometimes there's an expectation that it's going to happen because somebody prayed. And I understand that. But I also think that there's a place where you have to put your hand on something. If you're a believer, you have to put your hand on that. It has to be yours.
Jesus right. said your faith.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
faith.
And we already said it first hour, but the word is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Lord says in Joshua 1 for us to meditate on it day
mm-hmm.
and night. So that, like as Jeannie and Karen are saying, that as we pray the word, as we speak the word, a image becomes real to
that's
us
exactly
and that's why
right.
we can stand and people think just let them go, that's their will, that's what they know. I see what God sees because of his word,
mm-hmm.
because I'm praying his word. And when I hear bad news, I go run to the word and I say, but wait a minute, God, you said that you are going to persuade her and that you're going to lead her to the wilderness. You're going to take her to that place. A wilderness sometimes is not a good thing. But it's him and her, or him and the man that whoever you're praying for, or our nation, or whatever we are praying for. And so when we see, Hosea 2:14, it says, therefore, I'm going to persuade her, lead her to the wilderness, and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her vineyards back to her, and make the valley of Achor, Achor means trouble, the valley of trouble, everything they're going through, into a gateway of hope, and there she will respond, or there he will respond, or there our nation will respond, as they did in the days of their youth, as in the days that they came out of the land of Egypt, or out of the world. You know, they did it before, maybe, or whatever. You're like, Jeannie and I are talking about, our daughters worshiped God when they were little, and we used to sing together when they were young and they were little. And my daughter happened, you know, actually did sign language, and maybe your child did this, or your child played. You know, some of the people I know that I'm praying for, one is a worshiper, the other one was a worshiper, keyboard player, that kind of thing. And I'm standing in the gap for these people to come back to the Lord, and I see them. And I see them responding as they did in the days of their youth.
Right.
And then that's Hosea 2 through 15. And then it says in 16, in that day, this is the Lord's declaration, they will call me my husband and no longer call me my Baal or master. For I will remove the names of the Baals, the false god, the foreign things, the things that they may be proclaiming over their life. It says that God will remove them from their mouth. They will no longer be remembered by their names, by the things they have spoken over themselves. Mm-hmm. On that day, I'll make a covenant with them, with the wild animals, the birds of the sky, the creatures that crawl on the ground. I will shatter bow, sword, and weapons of war in the land, and will enable the people to rest securely. And I will take them to be my wife forever. I will take them to be my wife in righteousness, justice, love, and compassion. I will take them to be my wife in faithfulness.
And what Karen brought up that Jason preached Sunday, I want you to say that again. But I want to go back to verse 15 because you left off a really important part. Mm-hmm. And you're a worship leader, girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where?
He said, I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, will become the door of hope.
I said that.
And you did, but here's what you didn't say. And she shall sing there.
Mine doesn't say that.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I did say. Mine says there she will respond.
Yeah, it says that
as
too.
She did.
As in the days of her youth. It says she shall sing.
Ooh, I need to write that down.
That's the response. I was going to say, you need to write that in your Bible.
That's a King James version.
Oh, let me go back. Yep, that's what I get, huh?
No, but that was, for me, it was it showed this coming forth up out of her, the place that the hope has brought her to. That it brought her to the place of, the word says shout, sing, announce, begin to, she begins to bring out something, testify, witness, amen?
Right.
And so it's bigger than just what that version, what did it say?
It just says, into a gateway of hope, there she will respond as she did
respond.
In the days.
Respond.
It's bigger than respond. It's so much more. It means so much more. Something's going to come up out of here that's coming from the one that came back. Amen?
Yes.
It's good.
It is really
so
good.
So I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm writing it down.
Say what Jason said Sunday again, because it goes right along with this.
He said that there are many, many are saved, but many of those are not safe.
Not safe. But what did he say? What did he say here when he said they will dwell safely? What verse was that? Here it is, verse 18. And he said, in the sword of the battle of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. How many
where are you
people?
At?
That was verse 18 of Hosea 2. You just read it. I will make them to lie down safely.
I see it. I got it.
And
I
so mean, what? Yeah. Here we are in this hour. You know, when Jason said, many are saved, but not everybody is safe. It's within your own self, within your, or you come to church, you feel that you've been, from Scripture, you've been saved, mm-hmm. and someday you're going to be with Jesus, or well, all these things. But are you walking in the safety of knowing Him today?
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm going, and it's safety, and we read over in Proverbs about health, and, you know, finally, I find myself getting to a place where, it's becoming real quickly past me. You know, you come to the Lord and you get a lot of things where, Lord, help me. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Mm-hmm. Lord, you know, show me what you're saying here. Lord, do this. And that never changes, but the conversation changes. There comes a place where you trust that He will. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. as you go, He's going to make a way because He said He would.
That's
and
right.
So now you don't say, Lord, make a way for
me.
You just know it.
You just do it.
And you don't say, you don't see this so much anymore because you know He will because mm-hmm. He said it.
That's right.
And there comes a place where you begin to walk differently, above it, in it, but not of it. Mm-hmm. And you begin to walk different because He's calling you past yourself.
That's right.
He's calling you into this place of speaking His word, showing forth His word, showing, and you begin to understand from me, you know, now I'm not going to say to you that I like the wilderness. I've been there several times. I'm not going to tell you that I like it. But there is something about it that mm-hmm. I can say that I'm thankful for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time I've been there, I've come out of it saying, look what the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that we need to come to a place of understanding wilderness is not bad. It's hard.
But it says He speaks tenderly
right.
to them.
And you
and
know,
that's when the Lord speaks mm-hmm. to us tenderly.
But the Lord has spoken to me tenderly in the wilderness, and it sounded hard.
Yeah.
But I got it.
Yeah.
And the Lord has been real direct with me, tenderly, mm-hmm. very direct with me in the wilderness.
That's right.
But I got it. Mm-hmm. And so there, I think for me, there's coming a place where I understand these things are going to happen. If it, I recognize it on you because it looks just like mine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Somewhere I've been, but I want to come past myself. I'm ready to come past myself. And, you know, we talk about this on a national level or whatever. The thing of it is until I begin, and I'm using the corporate I, until we begin to come past ourself, things aren't going to get better. Mm-hmm. But when the believer begins to walk past the place of knowing for sure God said it, so therefore it shall be. Mm-hmm. Your children will be safe.
That's right.
I will allure her. Mm-hmm. We can begin to walk and put forth that word into a people that do not know Him. We can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds big. It's not big. It's not lofty. It's not anything. If I speak a word to someone today and they come to know the Lord, then everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yeah. Well, it's going back to that King James, lie down safely. Mine says to rest securely.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, then Hebrews 4, you know, mm-hmm. that there's a promise of rest. You know, mm-hmm. that we, it's a, it, people need the rest, the people need the rest that we will have. You know what I'm saying? They need that peace. They need to be saying, as we've said it as Christian, the body of Christ for many, many years, people need to want what we have.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm worried all the time about my prodigal or my nation or whatever is going on, and I'm not resting securely or lying down safely, then why would they want anything that I have? And let's read Hebrews 4. Therefore, while the promise to enter His rest, we have to enter that mm-hmm. rest, remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. You know, we have to ask the Lord, take me to that wilderness. Now, he'll decide when, where, and how. Mm-hmm. He'll decide if you need it. But when he says, I'm going to persuade you and lead you to the wilderness. I was trying to see what the King James, how the King James says it.
Allure
her, bring her. You know, when he decides to bring us or persuade us into and lead us into that wilderness place so that we can, he's going to speak tenderly to us, and then we will come to a place where we rest securely in him. I need to be resting in the fact that all is well. It is well. We go back to that. It is well with my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions that happen with prodigals, where you want it, like Jeannie said, you want to fix it. You want to run ahead of God. You want to do it for God. And it usually prevents that person from getting to that wilderness place if we get in the way. But if we rest securely in what God tells us to do, because it says, therefore, the promise to enter his rest remains or is here. Let us fear. Let us be very concerned that we don't miss that rest securely. Don't miss that place.
And I love verse 11, because now this clears up the matter. This is what Abraham did. Okay. Abraham did not start out going, hey, I see Isaac raising from the dead.
He didn't
start that way.
Right.
It was a process. And like you said, it could have been from 75 years old on.
Yeah.
So that's a good long time before he's 100.
Yeah.
And yet he had the promise from the Father. Right. And he says to him, look at those stars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you a father.
That's right.
So not only did he have God's word, but he had the image of the word.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's what we're talking about here. Uh-huh. And so he says in verse 11 of Hebrews 4, let us labor then. Let's go after this with everything we got to what? To enter into that rest. To enter into the place of being fully persuaded. I'm so sure of this, I can't see nothing else.
That's right.
That's what he's talking about.
And go that's back, how jump, you not waver.
Jump back up to 10.
Okay.
Or 9.
All
go
right.
All the way.
All right.
Therefore,
verse 1.
Go back to 1.
Genesis 1 and what? No.
What's the book that comes before Hebrews?
Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. That's what you're talking about. Doing it in ourselves, trying to make things happen for God. Let me go run ahead of you, God. Instead of resting securely, instead of lying down in safety, just saying, you know. And so when people see Jeannie or myself or Miss Karen, whoever, praying for, you know that we have some situations. And are we worrying? Am I running to where they are and let me fix this and I'm going to handle, you know. Or I'm saying, I'm sorry, I can't do anything else but pray for you. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard place to come to.
Right.
It really is. It's a hard place as a parent, even as a spouse. It's a hard place to say, I'm done helping you. I'm resting from my works. I'm resting from doing it in myself. And I'm just going to say, God, I rest securely in you. That you said, so will your descendants be. You already said that. You said, I'll pour out my spirit on your children, on your offspring, is what he said. You said, you will lead her to the wilderness. You will lead them to the wilderness or whatever. You know, and speak to, you said that, God. And you also said that they will respond as they did in the days of their youth. And then the other one, y'all done got me fired up on this now.
While you're looking, the one thing that, as you're talking, that reminds me of is that, you know, over in Jeremiah,
that's where I'm going, Jeremiah.
Another one of my favorites is where he says to Jeremiah, don't you look at their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's that place where you find yourself going through life and something happens and you go, oh!
Yeah.
Like you're shocked by it or surprised. But God said, don't concern yourself with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that you're unaware.
Right.
It's not that you've given up. It's not that you can't do anything. But don't let it push you off course. Don't let it cause you to bend one way or the other.
That's
Keep your eyes straight ahead.
No matter what you're praying for.
That's
it doesn't
right.
have to be prodigals or
right, exactly.
Whatever you're believing God stay. But back to Jeremiah 24, it says, I will keep my eyes on them for their good and will return them to this land. I will build them up and not demolish them. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to do it.
Right.
I will give them the heart. You know, we pray and we agree, but I run to this and I say, but God, you said you were going to give mm-hmm. them a heart to know you. I can't do it. I've maybe raised them, or I've believed for them, or I've done whatever for our nation. We can't do it. It says, I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh. They will be my people. I will be their God, because they will return to me with all their heart.
And you said
they
in
will.
That, you're
they,
you said in that, and you're resting.
That's right. I
but
have
it
to.
Is,
yeah.
It is a work.
Yeah.
And when I say work, I'm not talking about mm-hmm. you
in
accomplish
your, in
anything.
In yourself, yeah.
But within yourself, you constantly put yourself back mm-hmm. to where meditate on the word
that's
day and
right.
night. You're back pondering what God said about mm-hmm. a thing. You're back imagining what that must be like.
Yes.
And you let God's word give this image that he intended for it to do.
That's right.
Because he intended for Abraham to know every time he looked at the sand,
mm-hmm.
that's how many people's coming out of you.
That's right.
And he intended for him to look at the stars and die, and he intends for us to see our loved one saved.
That's right.
He intended for us to see the image mm-hmm. of a one who needs healing.
Yeah.
To be whole. He
that's
intended
right.
for you. That's why that woman with the issue of blood.
That's
she
right.
kept on saying,
mm-hmm.
that's a labor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why does she keep on saying?
It is well. Right?
Because everything looks like it ain't going to happen. That's why she kept on
yeah,
saying.
Exactly.
And so and she took that, kept on, that mm-hmm. that headed with everything she's got. She's going after him.
Right.
Because in her mind, there's no way this is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No
that's,
way.
That's
right.
How you fulfill that revelation. Come, I counsel thee to buy of mm-hmm. me gold. Right there it is.
Amen.
You're going to have to lay. It's going to cost you the labor of it.
Yep.
It's going to cost you the grabbing hold of it. It's going to cost you to lay down this and pick up that. That's what it's going to take for you to buy
that's right.
that gold.
So we're,
was it
we're,
David that said, I don't want to give any sacrifice that doesn't cost
yeah.
me something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll not do it, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I will get not bring
it's another
the Lord
one of my
something
favorite
that
verses.
Costs me nothing.
That's right.
But that is so perfect.
Yeah.
But see, well, we live in our church world or whatever. People think, okay, I need this. So y'all pray.
Mm-hmm.
We pray. And they think the whole thing should be straightened out by morning
that's
anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they didn't even participate in the labor of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but this is that we don't allow God's word to do what it was intended to
mm-hmm.
do. It was giving you his heart and mind on a thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he very much intended for you to enter into the rest of that.
That's right.
Right.
Don't you worry about what you're going to
mm-hmm.
eat. Don't you worry about what you're going to wear. You can't add to your life one thing. Not,
that's right.
one,
not one thing.
That's right.
So what's he telling you all that for? Because it's going to be an effort on your part to constantly bring yourself
back.
To what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to what he said. And sometimes
right.
you may have to do that a lot in a day. But what's
yeah.
it doing every time it's making that
you
image?
May run to it. I mean, I have been literally where I ran because my mind went whoop, and I got so overwhelmed. We've said this on this program many times, and I run to the word and I say, but wait, stop it, mind, stop. And I have to speak to myself, and
I
say,
speak to myself.
I will not believe the lies mm-hmm. of the enemy. I believe what God, he's going to persuade her. He told me that no one will rescue her out of his hands. You know, he mm-hmm. said that she will respond, and you know, and I just begin to declare, and I declare my way out of it. I speak,
right, that's right.
I speak the word out of it. Like you're saying, it's a work, but it's a labor of love. It's a labor of God. I'm going to trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word is God. So if I want to know what God has to say on a matter, run to his word.
Yeah.
Meditate.
You spoke your way right
day and
out
night.
Of the way.
That's right.
You,
and what,
right out of the way.
I just want to say right there that, you know, as we, though I hear when you say speak to yourself, this is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So important for those of you that maybe don't even comprehend what we're saying, but you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Part of your journey will be that you and God get on the same page.
That's right. Exactly.
And it's an effort. It's a labor. It's a work. It is because of love.
Right.
And so I say to myself many times, Jeannie, who are you going to believe? Mm-hmm. You going to believe you or you going to believe what God said?
That's right.
Because one of you is lying.
Right. At least well,
I'm talking to Jeannie here. I'm not talking to nobody but me.
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
That's right. And so I jerk myself back so many times, sometimes in a day, so many times, depending on the situation. But we're going to go with what God said here until something's going to move.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be His word.
That's
I can tell you that.
Nope.
So
he's he's sitting right on it.
That's how you become fully persuaded.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And that's a good point right there. So you have to participate in being fully persuaded.
That's right.
He ain't gonna drop that on you.
You have to be
involved. Because it's your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now your abundance of your heart's starting to show up. Uh-oh, and out of it's coming the very issues of life. Look out.
I'm going to do something today.
Yeah, God's
the Lord and I are going to go today.
So, a good friend of mine, sent me a text this morning. And he said, have a great day in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Amen.
Okay, and that's all he said.
Yeah.
And I said, nothing can stop it.
That's right. That's
Come
right.
on, do I believe that that's or right. am I just being cute?
You are determined. Huh? You own purpose.
Those things get tested.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I've declared today, nothing can stop.
And what does he say? He's going to test to see what was in our heart. You know, do I like getting up early to read the word? Sometimes, no. I want to lay in the bed but I know the danger. Is that the right word?
You're moving away from your safety.
That's right. Right. I can't rest if I don't have that for the day, if I don't have a word for the day, if I don't have His word, just like food. I'm going to run to my coffee. I'm going to run to my breakfast. Right.
Right.
But, it would be better if I read the word than to read to my brother.
Well, you get up early. Go ahead and get up early. Take care of business with you and the Lord, and then take a nap later.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's a conviction right there about the coffee.
Yeah, there's no time for that. Well, Isaiah 55 says, and Jeannie, you were in 55 earlier.
Yes.
And we'll go to 8. We love this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I sent it to do. So when my thoughts start running, I have to say, wait a minute, God, you said your ways are higher, your thoughts are higher. I'm gonna run to those.
And see, and when you said that, look, so many times we read this in the negative.
Right.
We read these scriptures and say, well, your ways are not our ways are not His ways, and you know, in other words, God's gonna do whatever He wants to. You're gonna be left in the dark.
Yeah.
You're
we put ourselves
have a clue
in our
what's
place.
Going on. And that's not what He said. He's giving you an invitation right here, get over on His word. Because He said that's not going anywhere.
Right.
My word's gonna that's coming out of my mouth, it's gonna
so
do
my
something.
Word be. Yeah.
So if you grab a hold of what He said, you're getting ready to see something happen.
Right. Right.
There's getting ready to be a suddenly in your life.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I knew it was going to get wilder.
To raise a hallelujah.
Somebody said, ouch. I think it might have been after the coffee comment.
Oh, yeah.
But either way, you know, it's either amen or oh me, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, But His word goes out of our mouth. If we could get that, the declaration and decreeing God's word creates life. It creates His ways, His purposes, His plans by us speaking it. We are not the creator. We get that. But He uses our mouth and He's saying, proclaim my word. Mm-hmm. Meditate on it. Speak it. Don't speak what you see. You know, what was it? Call those things that be not as though they are. You know, call them into existence. You know, we call into our nation. What is it? 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles 7, the one we read. If my people will humble themselves, and pray. Call my name, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. I'll come and heal their land. Mm-hmm. We speak that over our nation instead of saying, well, you know, the government shut down and, you know, our military's not going to be paid and we're not going to get our food stamps and, you know.
But the image of what you're saying, it's got to be more than just speaking.
That's right.
Because if we just do the, then it's nothing more than name it and claim it. Mm-hmm. And it may bring the result.
Right.
It may not bring
right.
the result. But when you see it.
That's the thing. The faith
when
on
you've
it.
You've stayed around it.
Yeah.
You've looked at it every morning now
that's
for
right.
a year.
Meditate.
You looked at it every morning.
Held on to it.
And all of a sudden, what? The image of it coming to pass is coming up inside of us. And
it's
we
real.
Begin to speak His word with a difference. We got a difference
that's
inside
right.
that says that's going to happen.
I'm
sorry.
It's not just
I saw it.
Yeah, it's
Amen.
Not just reading.
Yes.
It's not just reading. That word meditate means to ponder.
Believe
you
it.
You just sit
and
on
speak it.
It. Yeah, sit on it and just relax with it and let it get in you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
no,
the way you live your life.
It.
It's your life. It's not what we do, it's how we live. It's not just, we don't just do it on Sunday or every morning for an hour. We
I think Miss Jeannie needs to read verse 12.
Verse 12.
Of Isaiah 55.
For you shall go out with joy.
Yeah.
And be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it.
That sounds like the
I've
Lord.
Seen that. I've
and
seen
we're
going to
see it.
I can't help but see it.
We see
and
it
the
and
trees of the
it.
Field shall clap their hands. Woo! I mean, the image of that can it swells up inside
yes.
of me. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
There's things that I have believed God for that I still... don't know what that, I haven't seen it in the natural, but the image of it has grown and grown and grown. I'm telling you, that's what
that's
he meant
right.
for to happen. That's what
Amen.
He meant for us to see.
They shall go
Amen.
Out with joy.
When they took off that roof to lay that, to bring that man down in there, what did Jesus, seeing their faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He saw it.
Yeah.
He saw it.
Right.
Man, come on.
Yeah.
So
it
good.
Can be, that's, there's something there. They had an image. That they knew if they could get to Jesus, this thing's going to happen.
That's right.
This thing's going to happen. And that's where that girl
was.
They pondered. And they had a long time to think about it. It took a minute to get on that roof and tear it off.
Tear it off.
Yeah.
It took a minute to get that other man up there, too.
But do you get that desperate?
But can you see, like you're saying, can you imagine as they're tearing that roof off, that man's like, it's going to happen.
It's really
it's
going to
happen. They're going to get me to him. Mm-hmm. And the excitement that was probably building and building while others are down below going, what in the world are they doing? They're tearing the roof off, you know. But that they knew we've got to get him to Jesus. And that's what our hearts should be.
You know,
we should be, I've got to get the nation to Jesus. I've got to get my prodigals to
Jesus.
Not in ourselves. But by pondering on the word and seeing it.
You know, she talked about that
praying.
And that woman with the issue of blood. You know, can you, what was, if I can just touch the hem
That's
of
right.
his garment, the expectation, if I can just touch the hem of his garment.
She didn't care if they were stepping on her hand or bumping her or moving her out.
You know, it is that. And there's an expectation on it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to believe the believing is the expectation.
That's right.
It can grow.
That's right.
It can grow. If you're not there today, if you're not at a place where you think, I see it, and it's wonderful what's being said, but I just don't know if I just don't know if I can believe it enough for it to happen for me, and that always been our biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any problem believing God can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
He can do all the impossible things.
Except.
But will he do it for you?
Me.
That's right. That's what I always say. We know
me.
God can,
right.
but we get into this, but will he?
Mm-hmm.
Will he?
Of course, I always think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on that one. I love the way they said that. They spoke. They said this. We're not even careful to answer you in this.
Yeah.
And so don't be careful to answer those situations in your life. Go ahead and be bold to say what God said.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If he does.
But they said this. Our God is able.
That's right.
And he will.
That's right.
But if he don't.
That's right. Even if he don't.
Here's where I stand for this thing ever plays out. This is where I stand.
Right.
And what he said, we won't serve nobody else.
That's right.
And they never wavered from it.
Sorry.
Oh, I thought the trumpet
coming
sounded.
Back.
Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
At least we're in
Hallelujah.
The Word.
Hallelujah.
That was Jeannie's phone, if you heard that.
You know, but... You all were talking about that, and You all were talking about that, and I was thinking about even in Hosea, we're not there yet, but it's in the end of chapter 2. And just talking about how,
I don't know.
It's true for the Lord. It's true. His word is true, and it applies to us. You know, even if he's speaking to Israel, it applies to us.
That's right.
Well, even because we are grafted in, and he tells us here, this is what I love. And that's how we can have confidence that he will do it for us. You know, that thing that we're like, oh, I know he can, but will he do it for me? We can stand and say he will because he said he will. And he says in verse 23, Hosea 2, verse 23, and I will sow for her myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy, and I will say to not my people that you are my people, and he shall say you are my God.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That's us.
I feel the anointing right now. It's there.
And look at 21. On that day, I will respond. Because before we're praying, but what's happening is now I'm going to respond. Either they're saying it or we're going to say it. I am going to respond.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That verse 20 even, it says, you know, I betrothed you. I've married you. Yeah, it's to me, it's faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall know the Lord. Over in, I think it's in 1 John, where he said, you know, if we deny him, he still remains faithful.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's a place where I don't know. I'm not going to say I know everything what that means, but I do believe that there's days that you're just not there.
Right.
There's days that your heart's saying it ain't going to work for me. Mm-hmm. There's days that you maybe not even got the right heart.
Right.
And he says, but I will remain faithful.
I think that's here. I think
that's
Hosea.
When my heart
that's
condemns
Hosea.
Me.
Hosea was faithful.
Yeah.
No matter what his wife did, he was faithful through it all. He stayed with her. Mm-hmm. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel his anointing.
Getting
right
gooder,
now.
And gooder and gooder
gooder
in here.
And gooder. This is I feel his presence it right is, now. Yeah. I'm just telling you. He's
know,
speaking to somebody out there. Go
have
ahead.
You all heard, you know, when we're talking about submission in marriage, it's coming to me right now that, you know, whenever someone loves as Christ loves, that they are, it's a joy to submit to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about it with the Lord, like knowing that he knows the end from the beginning.
That's right.
And he still died for us and still loved us, knowing every sin that we will commit, even in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't, like Paul said, God forbid if that makes us want to continue in sin.
Right.
What it should do is the same thing that it does when we have a husband worthy of submitting to make us want to live righteous.
That's right.
For someone who poured a love like that out for us,
mm-hmm.
for someone who no one else would have loved us in our worst moment unconditionally other than him and paid the price that he did. But because he did that, that should make us not want to be like, oh yeah, he knows what I'm going to sin, so I'm just going to keep sinning more. It should make us want to live in a way that is pleasing to him as a way to pour our heart back out to him after he's already poured our heart out for us.
That's what that takes us back to a scripture we said very back in the beginning, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yeah.
What after what? After I want to be able to submit to what he wants me to submit to. I want to love like he loves. I want to forgive like he did. I don't want it to take 2 years. I want it to be today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your heart for righteousness swells up and you hunger and thirst for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very character of God you're thirsting for there.
Amen. Well, I hadn't even thought about it in this light, unless you all had touched on it when I was gone. But Brother Greg said, Gomer is a woman of whoredom. The meaning of this is a representation of fatherlessness. Children with no father. Mm-hmm. God wants to be the father of all who will.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. That is really good.
Yeah, that is good.
And he's everything to us. He fulfills every role that we long for.
Right.
He's our father. Mm-hmm. He's our husband. He's our companion, you know, if you're a man, but he's our best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's everything to us.
That's
and
right.
then it takes us back to, we talked about yesterday, Jesus, they were like, well, your mother and your brothers are out there.
They're with us.
And he said, my mother and my brother are those who do the will of my father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just
it's amazing.
It's awesome.
Then we can be like the woman at the well. Come and see a man.
Yeah.
Come and see
come
a man.
Come here. You gotta meet this Jesus because
for you shall go out with joy.
Amen.
And be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
David said, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.
That's right.
It will follow you. It's the same here when he's talking about, I will have mercy. Where is it at? I'm on the wrong one.
I don't know where you
were. The hills break forth.
Oh, that's Isaiah 55.
Yeah. Read that again.
Okay. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands.
That's goodness and mercy following you around.
All the days
Well, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Amen.
So he is the one that turns things around. That's what I see, is things are turning around. Instead of a thorn, you're going to have a fir tree. Instead of a briar, there's going to be a myrtle tree. God's going to turn things around as we meditate and ponder on his word, speak his word, declare his word, and believe, as it says in Hosea, that he is going to do some mighty things. Read Hosea 2. It is so good. I could read it over and over and over. I just love it.
We're going to read it over and over and over. Yeah. And that's what it's going to do. And the next time we talk about this, it's going to be grander than
it is
today.
That's
Why? Because the image of it has grown so big that more than likely it's affected something.
That's right.
More than likely it's broke forth into the atmosphere.
That's right.
And changed some things already today.
That's right.
That's what I really want that to happen. Go ahead.
All right, you want me to start?
You can.
Father, I thank you for Hosea 2, God, your word. We thank you for your word just overall, God, all of it, God, that just flows together, God, to speak to us. Lord, we desire more and more to meditate and to ponder and believe your word, God. We love your word, God. And Lord, we just thank you this morning that, God, every word that was spoken, Father God, out among the radio listening audience, God, and in our lives, God, that, Lord, it is alive. It is sharper. It is active. And it is piercing hearts, God. And I thank you that everyone who reads Hosea, God, will begin to break out into joy. They'll begin to sing the songs of the Lord. And I love that Jeannie, the King James, added that part that says, therefore, I'm going to persuade her or them and lead them to the wilderness. Speak tenderly to us. I'm just going to say even to us. There I'll give them the vineyards back to them and make the valley of trouble into a great way of hope. And they shall sing there. They shall sing there. And I love that. That's what I get for not reading the King James Version. And they shall sing there, and they will respond as they did in the days of their youth. I believe we can even respond as we read the word, not only for the prodigals, not only for our nation, but for our lives also, of just as we read the word, as we study it, as we're praying, that we will respond as the days of our youth, as in the days that we came out of the world. Remember those times when we prayed and came out of the world? And God, we just give you praise for that this morning, God.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
yes,
for the joy of the Lord to fill those out there that, God, maybe have been discouraged today, God. Lord, we come against discouragement and depression, God.
Yes.
And we thank you that the word is alive today.
Words.
Get in the word. Run to the word,
the oil of gladness,
and just begin to speak
out.
And speak the word, speak yourself happy. Let the joy of the Lord just consume
you.
That's all right.
And
stir
ponder
it
on it. Ponder on it.
Stir it up.
In Jesus' name.
Stir it up in the name of Jesus today. Stir up all those places that he's already visited in your life. Go back and remember. Go back and remember where you've been, where you are, what you've come through, and expect this to be no different. Because he hasn't changed not one bit.
That's right.
He's still the same. I love he's the Lord and he changes not.
Amen.
He does not change. So what he has said will stand forever. What he has said about you will stand forever. So stay in the word today.
Amen.
Stay in it. Go get a cup of hot chocolate and sit in the middle of the floor and you and the Lord talk about
Ponder.
What he said.
Yeah.
What he said. And let the image of what he said come alive inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside. The Holy Spirit's going to be a lot of help to you today, because if you hang out in God's word, he's going to make sure you understand it. He's going to make sure you see something today, and he's going to cause your life in the spirit to explode over your flesh.
Amen.
Ooh, my goodness. Let the faith that comes out of those words grow inside of you. The word itself contains him. You will be changed. There's no doubt about it. You cannot go there and not be changed. It's impossible.
Amen.
So know that there is a labor, there is a work to enter into his rest. But there, that's the place that you will come to. It will become easy for you to believe him.
Amen. Can I read one more scripture? This one just popped in my head. Yeah. Nahum 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of distress. He cares for those who take refuge in him. Our King James says, he is close to those who trust in him. But he will completely destroy Nineveh or the enemy. With an overwhelming flood, he will chase his enemies into darkness. Whatever you plot against the Lord, he will bring it to complete destruction. Oppression will not rise up. And if you break down oppression, it's affliction, pain, suffering, sickness, disease, will not rise up a second time. For they will be consumed like entangled thorns, like the drink of a drunkard, and like straw that is fully dry. This is what the Lord says. Though they are strong and numerous, they will still be mowed down, talking about the enemy. And he will pass away, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no longer, for I will now break off its yoke from you and tear off your shackles. And there used to be a song, take the shackles from my feet so I can dance. No. And I don't know, the Lord is a stronghold to us. And I just wanted to read that there are times when we feel like, oh no, here it comes again. No, it says it's not going to rise up a second time. And we have to believe God, his word. Ponder on it. Find scriptures like this that just encourage you. You know, I had a lady one time sitting next to me in church, and Aaron picks at me about my Bible. Everybody's Bible here would look like this if they brought it. They're all on their computers. Hannah's Bible here looks just as rough as mine, but Aaron picks at me about mine. But she looked at me and she said, man, I wish my Bible looked like yours. Well, my Bible don't just look like that. No credit to me. We ponder on it. We get in our Bibles. Hannah's Bible looks just like mine.
She's spilled coffee on it.
Yeah, we do everything. My little tabs are all torn and my pages are, you know. And because we ponder and we meditate on it and it comes alive to us and we know and we're secure and we rest in it. Mm-hmm. We rest in the Word knowing God's going to do it. So let your Bible look like that, but not just so your Bible looks like that. Jeannie keeps saying, I'm going to give it away. Not right now. But what I'm saying is... is
let
that
it change
you want it to be consumed. It's everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we should all be that way.
Amen.
Amen. When Miss Jeannie was praying that, I don't even know what she was, like when somebody starts praying and then I start like seeing something, it's like I can't multitask very well. So it's like it sparks something and it's hard for me to listen and see. But I saw, you know, as the Lord... And we talked about earlier him cutting and, you know, the word being a two-edged sword. Mm. I saw, like, flesh being cut off of somebody.
Wow.
But where that flesh was exposed, like open flesh, where there was no skin, like light began. Oh, that was when you said an explosion of light.
Mm.
Light began to just shine out.
Right.
So it was like every area that was exposed, the light is shining so bright that you can't even see the wound.
You can't see the wound.
The wound's healed. And
I don't preach.
You and can't it will not it. Rise up a second time.
It won't because the light is just so bright shining out of it.
What a great word.
It was cool to be able
I'll
to see
it.
That. And then it reminded me of the new wine, the old wine and the new wineskins, how we have to have a new wineskin. And that new wineskin to hold the new wine is that light. It's the light of the word. So it was.
Wow.
I love when the anointing is there and I'm able to see something because I normally don't see pictures and stuff like that. But when you said that earlier, like I pray that we see a picture of what the word is starts
That's
to rise
right.
up. I was like, yes, Lord, let us see it because you hold on to stuff like that. You don't when it's multiple senses, not just the eyes, but the ears and the eyes. It sticks with you when you have multiple senses engaged with.
And what does it
God's
say?
Word.
The old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And
you know, how do I get to that? I just go, Lord, I want to do that.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
I want to see something, Lord.
Yeah. And he did it. That's right.
Yeah, man.
That's
good. I was like, ooh,
he's
explosions.
Not going, not now. You're not ready.
No. You have to be in the Word for 10 days.
No. Yeah. That's right.
And I used to get in my head about it. I was like, well, I don't see like a movie screen pop up in front of me, but it's not like that. It's like a mental
it's impression
picture.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so awesome.
I live for that next moment.
Oh, yeah.
I live for it because in getting into his word, the excitement is, for me, He's going to tell me something right here. Mm-hmm. He's going to show me something right here. I know he has never not, you hear me? Mm-hmm. Whoever's on the other side of this microphone, I have never gone to the Word of God with that hunger. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't spoke to
me.
And he hasn't shown me something.
And wasn't it in Psalms or somewhere, I waited expectantly on the Lord. In the morning, I rise and I waited expectantly for the Lord. And, you know, we should, like you're saying, I expect God to speak to me. You know, me personally, it's either through a song or during worship or in the Word. That's the two places the Lord always speaks to me. That's where I'll see a vision. That's where I hear from the Word. I'll have something is in worship or in the Word, either place. You know, and, you know, mine is not always in the marketplace. Mine's usually in worship. It doesn't matter. It can be in the marketplace, you know, but everybody's different. Maybe yours is whenever you're washing your dishes, you know what I'm saying, and you're pondering on the Word. You never know where God's going to speak. Mm. But if we wait expectantly for him, he will.
Amen. That's encouraging. That is encouraging, because I know for me, I've allowed doubt to come in because I would overthink and think, well, I don't hear from God like they do.
Right.
Like what I hear other people say. Yeah. But he does speak to us differently.
Yes, he does.
And he knows our mind. Mm-hmm. He knows our life. He knows our schedules. He knows everything. And he's going to speak in the way that he can reach us.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It wasn't because he was going to have one voice and everybody knows it.
Yeah, right.
But my sheep know my voice because I'm going to talk to them personally.
Yeah, exactly. And I know their voice. He knows our voice, too, you know, and he knows what we're asking. But he says he would give in dreams. It says in that Job, in that Job 33, it says that he speaks in dreams and gives them warnings so that they might turn, you know.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about evil, but we're talking about maybe we turn from a direction we may be thinking we need to go in. Well, the Lord will speak in a dream, in a vision, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, ladies, but it's been a blessed day. Thank you all for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. And we did get a trivia answer. Miss K got that. It was Zenus. So thank you for getting in there. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.